Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Can you imagine our God does not change? As He was, so is He, so shall He ever be. That do you people ever contemplate on how magnificent that is? That there is nothing about Him that changes. Everything about Him is the same and has been that way. Amen? Amen. Of course, His covenants with men have changed, but He has not changed. Glory to God. Now, that really is such a powerful thing, because it means that if you've understood something about Him, it will be relevant 10 years from now, just as it is now. Amen? Now, if you know something about me, 10 years from now, I will have changed. If you try to apply it, it will not work. It might not work because I'm subject to change. But our God is not to any form of change. That's why He says, I'm the Lord, I change not. Glory to God. And you know, from the very beginning, He created Adam for companionship. Amen? He created him for companionship. And that means that when God moved with Adam, what came into, as the Bible says, in the cool of the day to speak to Adam, what were they talking about? Adam did not have any spiritual battles to fight. He was not hungry. He did not want to build a house or drive a car. He had everything he ever needed. But God came to speak to him about what? Praise the Lord. And that is the real gist of it. Now, you people pretend that Jesus did not take us back to the time of where Adam was, before the fall. But He actually did in every way possible. Amen? So that we can go and talk to Him about nothing. Just talk to Him. Praise the Lord. And that like means so much to Him. That you just talk to Him. That you have no need. I have no need. I'm okay. I just came to talk to you. Now some of you say, I have a need. You pretend you don't have one. Amen? So, now Jesus translates us right back to the Garden of Eden. And now you see in religion, they say, you know, if Adam had not sinned, okay, he sinned, but Jesus came. Eh? And now you see the final price that Jesus, before his death, you know, He gave us power. I've given you power over this. All powers, you know, has been given to me, never. But then the final thing before He died is He had to pay the price for our communion with God. That's why, as part of paying the price, God had to first abandon Him. And He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, that was part of the deal, so that the price also for our continual communion with God has also been sorted. Amen? You know, because He had to go through certain things so that we don't have to go through them. You know that. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that even if He was rich, yet for our sakes He became poor, so that us through Him might be what? Rich, 2 Corinthians 8:9. Now, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, there is no scripture I'm quoting, that even if He was permanently in communion with the Father, for some period when He was on the cross, God had to also abandon Him and forsake Him as part of the paying of the price. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm trying to teach you something which is very important for you here now, because the scripture says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Amen? 1 Peter chapter what? Chapter 5. Now, and so you resist the devil and he flees from you. But then it's a continual thing. Then he comes back, then you do what? Then he does what? Then he flees. And then people who stay in that place have a certain level of accomplishment. They feel a bit accomplished because, you know, we were under attack here and we quashed it and we destroyed it. Now, you know, yeah, we put the devil under us. Then he comes back, he shows up in another place. Then you also what? Defeat him there. Then now he shows up in another place, you also do what? Defeat him there. And you're in some kind of victory, but at a very low level, eh? You are in a victory which is on and off. Praise the Lord. But there's a place where you can be in perpetual victory, where there is no resisting. You understand? You are like Adam because there's no resisting. He's not resisting the devil. His everything about him is communion with God. And in actual sense, that's the place of where victory is. Now, when you're at the realm, and of course, I know what I've been at this place, where something shows up, then you fight, pray against it, then it goes. Then, you know, something shows up here, then another one shows up here. So you are in a place of permanently putting out fires. And a fire shows up here, you pour water on it. Then another one shows up here, you pour water on it. And that actually is what? Is kind of your life. And you are better than so many people, because for some people, the fires come and burn and destroy a lot of things. But maybe for you, it doesn't destroy too much. But it shows up. There are fires that you have to put out at every one time. Now then, but I'll tell you this. In that place of putting out fires, it's a total preoccupation that the reality is that it is difficult. What you're doing is holding fort, but you're not expanding. Amen? You're holding your ground. You're holding your ground. You're not going to take my ground. But in actual sense, you are not expanding. So you're protecting what you have, which is still better than a very big percentage of believers, because for them, they will even lose that ground. And every time you find, they have lost ground, and they seem to be receding. And their victory is less and less apparent. But still, in that place, that's not the place where you get real revelation that changes lives, eh? That changes you, starting with your own life. That's not it. Now, outside of that, there is another place, which is so easy because the price was paid, amen, for you to get into, where that's the place where the voice of God is very clear. And it might not even be the voice. It might be the impressions of God are very clear. Because when some people say, when you say the voice of God, sometimes it's not like the voice. Sometimes it's just an impression that you get, or an idea that you get. And it's inspired. It's just as powerful as the voice of God, because it's from God. But he chooses many different ways of what? Of ministering. Because sometimes, even in that place when you sleep, even the dreams are, you know, are more profound than the normal ones, where you dream when, you know, you're in permanent fighting and things are attacking you, and somehow you're evading them. And I'm sure, because I've been in that place where when you start actually pursuing the Lord, where your dreams are like you know, something is chasing you, then you fly. Then you fly up, then it's looking at you, then it can't reach where you are, but it is there looking at you, waiting for you to come down. Then one of my dreams so many years ago, I actually flew, and I was looking at it. It was looking at me like this, and it was some kind of animal. Then, for some reason, I started coming down a bit. Then, but I wasn't on the ground. Then it jumped so high, like it sprung, the way you'd see, like, let's say, a cheetah. Spring, then it sprung high, then it beat my finger like this, still, in the dream. But I woke up when my finger is paining. And it was a dream. And then I woke up and then my finger is paining. And then, of course, like, then you wake up and pray against what? Pray. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Praise the Lord. Something is happening. But then, if you go to Acts chapter 13, this is what it says. It says, now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger. Is that Niger or Niger? Niger, eh? Maybe he was black. So he was called the Niger. Lucius of Cyrene, Manahen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Verse 2. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Now, I realize that, you see, these people were fasting, but they were not doing it. They were ministering to God. In some translations, it says they were serving God. But serving God, not like here, I'm serving God. No, they were serving God in their closets. Eh? Now, of course, the reality is people think that's not serving God. But if you serve God here without serving him there, then you'll be the most empty vessel that there is. Eh? You have to first serve him here before, serve him there before you serve him here. Amen? So they were actually ministering to God. Now, what is ministering to God? I know what ministering to the watchman is, as in fellowship. I'm doing it. But what is ministering to God? What do you be telling him when you're ministering to him? Now, of course, some translations say they were worshiping, which is a bit of true. But the reality, ministering to God is what Adam was doing, just talking with him. And now in that place, when you are not conscious of anything else, you're just talking with him. And I'm telling you, you'll hear how clear his voice can be when you're in that place. Completely, you just go to talk to him. Talk to him. You know, there is a certain man of God who said that one day he's there talking to God. Eh? Then, and he's doing this, ministering to God, just talking to him about this and that. And now when he's talking to you, he's giving you revelation. Eh? For the most part, sometimes he's cracking jokes and all that. Eh? So many things. By the way, now someone says, "God cracking jokes." No, the truth is, so you're talking to him about everything. And now if you approach him with the jokes thing, he will also jokes. You see, eh? If you approach him very serious, you'll also be what? That's what the scripture says. To the faithful, I show myself what? Yeah. Now, so he says, this guy says he's talking to the Lord. Now, the Lord had told him to build a big auditorium, apparently, for some school and what. So he was in the process of building. Now they had approved the things. Apparently, you need a bank there, even if you don't need loans, eh? The bank has to approve, you know those Americans, eh? And that system of theirs. So I don't need your loans, but still you have to go through the what? And the bank can stop you from developing, even if you have your money. Eh? That's why I thank God for our system here. If you have money, you have it. Eh? If you don't have, you what? You have. If you what? Unless you don't know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Anyway, now, so he's there speaking to the Lord. In his quiet, then somebody comes and tells him, "You have to listen to this. What's the problem? The bank has canceled our plans. The building cannot go on. And these people, apparently suppliers of this and this, by chance, there was some kind of big deal there happening." Then he said, first of all, the Lord told him to build the building. Then now in the middle, everything has gone, you know, off. Then he said, "Hey, what has happened? The bank, what? So now what? Yeah, now the suppliers, then this, then you know what? Then we cannot meet our targets. If we don't meet our targets, this is going to happen. What? You know, people who are in that, they know how to load it down for you, properly. So he said, "Hey, okay, yeah." Then he continued what? Ministering to the Lord. And now the Lord behaves as if he hasn't heard. Then he's telling you, "But have you read this scripture? Eh? This is, do you know what this means?" And what? Then he continued, now he did not break stride whatsoever. Now, that is somebody who has understood how to be in the realm of victory. That doesn't mean things don't come up. But when you stay in that realm, you don't let any of that stuff affect you. So he continues. He said, "But God, okay, yeah, you are telling me scriptures. But do you know what's happening the other side?" No. He continued ministering to the Lord. And then he said, even did not pay attention to it. Then after a period of time, he notices they are building. The building is going ahead. He doesn't know. He didn't try to pursue details. Then the building is going ahead. Then he asks, what happened? That no. Actually, the bank realized that what? Then they approved and everything. So everything is now okay. We are building. We are going to meet our targets and what? Now, if you panic in that moment, you've not learned how to stay in the place of victory, in the place of ministering to the Lord. Now, your ministering to the Lord will turn into, you go for ministering to the Lord to resist the devil and you'll what? And you'll flee. Now, you've gone a step lower and you don't know it. And yet, if you resist him, you'll do what? Okay, in the name of Jesus, this bank people, I cancel the bank things, what? Then they call you and tell you that, yeah, actually, the bank things have worked out. Then you say, victory. No, but really, it took you away from a higher place. And it would have come without you ever having paying attention to it. So you just stay in the place of ministering to God, and it sorts itself out. Now, in that place, the voice of God is very, very, very clear. And now people will just converse with him. Now remember this this human man. He's saying, okay, this is a bit outside of what I wanted to say, but I will just say it. Because I have the Kazindar. Anyway, you know Jesse Duplantis. So he says he's on a plane, a commercial plane. And then they are traveling properly. Then he gets to some stage, then the thing just then starts losing altitude. Then it is then it's really now they are in serious trouble. Everybody is screaming here because it's clear the pilot has lost control over the plane. Then he's here talking to the Lord. Then now for him is there Quakers, like me, I'm talking to the Lord. Then the Lord tells him that say something, otherwise you're going to die. Then he realized, of course he knew what to say. Then he said, and now you know he's in his human thing. Then he said he stood up in the middle of the plane and said, Satan, get your hands off this plane in Jesus' name. Then suddenly the plane then started going smoothly, then recovered height again. Then he said that now there, I knew I have these guys. I said, how many of you want to receive Jesus Christ? And now actually, you know there are people who are what? Let me tell you. Have you ever been that thing can humble you? A plane. Because you know you have no control. You understand? Now even these guys, you know, science says what? Science, let the plane start nosediving. There is no science. There is no. So he said he actually made the water cold there and people got born again. Like that. And you know he's a humor man. So somehow you should hear the story from him. It's full of a lot of humor. Actually, he said that there is a TV station where they say they don't allow preachers. But for him, they allowed him. They said that one was not a preacher, he's a comedian. So he's the only preacher who was allowed on the TV. Anyway, so I'm just talking about, now. I'm just talking, praise the Lord. And now, by the way, this is where he reveals things which you did not know and you can know and he wants you to know, and which are going to take you to another level. And here now, victory becomes a dwelling place. Praise the Lord. Where you actually dwell in victory. And now dwelling in victory doesn't mean you don't come in a form of attack, but you don't let it bring you down from your high horse. Continue, be like that, the other guy whom they told him your building plans have been cancelled, and he says, hey, okay, what scripture are you showing me, Lord? That this scripture and what? Then you just proceed and then it irons itself out and life goes on and you stay there. Now, those attacks actually come to just, if they can pull you down, they will actually pull you down. And you'll stay down because there will never be a time when there is nothing happening. Never. But if you refuse to come down, those things all sort themselves out, one way or the other. And now, have you ever been with people who are masters of, who are alarmists? Alarmists. Amen? Especially women. Yes, seriously. Have you ever been in a scenario? Because, they You touch the child and see the temperature is a bit high. They say, no, it's okay. You touch this. They say, no, it's okay. Touch. No, it's okay. Now, it's okay, you bring, let me pray for you. They hold the child and pray. The child sleeps. And they say, now, touch and see. Touch again. Now, okay, sometimes there is, but the truth is, if you actually do not let that bring you down from a high horse, it sorts itself out. All of you would get temperatures, what? But you're all mature people here with beards, aren't you? But now when a kid gets a small temperature, you see Vanita is here laughing because she knows, Man. Then if you have a phone call, the phone number of a doctor, they call and say, the kid has just sneezed. Kids sneeze, man. Like, the alarmists. Now they can bring you down off your high horse. Those people, you know what I'm saying? Where for you, you know that my kid is going to be okay. There's even a prophetic word on the kid. So there is nothing which is going to happen. There is nothing. And you come from that place of, I am sure, they are going to all turn out okay. Everything is okay. Amen? And some people don't. Now I even have somebody, some relative of mine, very worried, rightly so, about, okay, teenage son. Now he's getting wrong combat, man. And those. So I told her that, have you ever read the scripture in Isaiah 54, which says your children will be taught of the Lord? I said, you just pray that about your children. You can't teach them. They will go to school. You just agree what the Bible says. That your children, you show us that scripture, Isaiah 54. Your children will be taught of the Lord, it says, and great shall be the peace of your children. Now just claim that and relax. And have parental joy. That is a promise of what? Of the Lord. Now you know Isaiah 54. Is God's promise after Isaiah 53, which is Jesus' death. You know? Isaiah 53, he was wounded for our transgressions, what, and all that. Now Isaiah 54, all those promises there, where he says all of the whole chapter. So now it is even a provision for your children. Now just agree that my children will be taught by God. Can you imagine he wants to take, now he's promised, my children will be taught by you. Then you wake up and your children know things which you don't know where they got them from. And God was what? Busy teaching them because he promised it. Just believe it. Now, if you don't, you have to be careful with what? But then also, you can't overwatch. They will escape, Then they say, you know that thing where they put what? Parental password on the what? On DSTV, the things which are of there, which they call age appropriate. Even me, adult times two, will watch them and get what? Goose pimples. But they will say PG-13. And they say it's supposedly good for 13. But even me, I would watch it and I'm completely scandalized. So you say, you know what? Just leave it to the Lord. Your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. So you just wake up in the morning and say, okay, I've gone to work because I have to work. But while I'm away, my children will be taught by what? Hello. Because he promised that. Anyway, so I was telling you about that place of ministering to God. Now, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing because God wants to. Have you ever read the Psalms? Now, the Psalms is David, some of them, not all of them are written by him, but actually some of them are composed by him and, you know, whatever. Some other people made them into songs. But he's just talking about his life before God, where he says, you have promised me this. You got Psalm 89 and I show you. Now, this is actually ministering to the Lord. You got Psalms 89 and I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. Go very fast, for I have said, mercy shall be built forever. Your faithfulness shall establish in the very heavens. Verse 3, I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to my servant, Kableta. Now you see, when I'm writing my own psalm, I am saying all these things. Lord, I remember when I was this and you promised me this. Now I've seen it. Now I thank you, because now David here says you've promised me that my seed will always be on this throne for all generations. And now, you know, you've promised me this. Then he tells you, I remember when I was looking after sheep. Then you picked me up from there. Then brought me. You've made me the king of Israel. And not only have you done that, you've also even promised that all my children, then he said that which God told him, that if your children disobey me, I will chastise them with, you know, the whip. But I will not take my love away from them the way I did from Saul. Okay? I will just punish them. But because of you, I will still, my mercy will still be upon. Then he's just marveling at the promises of God. And the whole psalm is just David feeling sweet about what the Lord has done to him and establishing his story with the Lord. Now, God wants a story with each other. Now, he has a story. Now, he wants you to establish a story between you and him of, remember when I was like this, you remember? And those stories start from way, way, way back. If you really, really, really were to be honest with yourself, honest, because you know some people. I remember one time when I was young. I was definitely not born again. Now I was in a certain place, and my mother sent me in the village. One house is here, there's another house is like where the tent is. But it was raining. And my mother said, we need something there. She needed it urgently, so the rain was not going to be an issue. I had to endure it. But when I stood outside, and I saw the rain pouring off the, you know, off the roof, something just came to my mind. Then I just said, in Jesus' name, I stop this rain. Then phew, it stopped instantly. Now, that is God beeping you. Like, God can show you, like, where he's trying to, a teaser, exactly. So I ran across and ran back. Then the rain started again. Now that thing stayed in me. I said, which means, like, it stayed with me all through, and I remember it, and I remember it very vividly, and I was really young in primary school. That's so many years ago, unlike you. Now, I said, what is? So now when I'm looking at this, when this ministry into the Lord, I said, man, remember for me when that, now there was another time when I was in S5. Now, I'll also never forget this, because you know those schools, they admit so many people in S5, then at the end of S5, they cut off so many. You know, and the reason they do that is money. But those days, they have not become so money-minded like now. Now schools are just commercial, especially schools which have names, purely commercial. But even then, they used to do that. Now, I was in Namiango College. Now there was this cantankerous physics teacher who apparently felt that the physics class was too big. We have to chop like half of you. Physics class is too big. Then you'd even point to people and say, for you, you should go to arts class. As if you don't look clever enough. Then he says, Gwe, you go and do hell. And it's as if he's saying, go to hell. And he was a very cantankerous guy. I will not forget that guy. A very short man, but with a very weird beard. And he would come smoking. Man, anyway. So, the guy comes. He gives us a test at the end of S5. And there were just three numbers. Physical chemistry. Physics, mechanics. Mechanical, you know. What's it called? Mechan? Have things changed that much from when I was in the 60s? Okay. Now, three numbers. And it was either you get 0 or 33 or 66 or 100. Like, the guy was that kind of, and there were no middle ground. So I looked at the numbers. I read the first one. I said, let me see. Go to second. Nothing. I read it again. Read it again. Nothing. Then I said, let me go to the third. The third, I read it, that one was even worse. I had no idea where to start. Now I was in serious trouble. And the only thing I could think about, how do I go and tell my father they cut me off? So, I prayed. Do you know that's what I did, actually? I said, God, help me. I'm in serious trouble here. Help me. And I'm telling you, as soon as I said that, I saw something, like something flashed in me, and I saw the solution to one. And it was those things of, if this is like this, and prove that over what is, those things. Then I even first got my rough copy and started from the idea God had given me. Then, prove. Then, I landed there. I said, I have it. Then, I didn't know. I could have also asked for the second number and the third one. But somehow I stopped with that one, and I got 33. But guess what? Half of the class got zero. There was only one person who got two. No, I think about two or three people who got two of them correct. So he gave them 60 what? Hey. And that's how he was. So when they brought my thing, okay, that one I did it. So there was no way. So he had to give me 33. So I looked, I said, 33, man. And the guy said, I said, what's yours? Zero. And now, zero. I said, man, I messed up. But the truth is, if I had not prayed, now, imagine, I wasn't even born again. Okay, I had been born again in S1. You know those things when you go to school, S1, what? Those things, But then when you get to S3, I know they would say that, you know, these social, that safeties are not supposed to go. I said, you're joking. Why? So I said, to hell with your safeties. So now by the time I reached S5, I was a proper backslidden. But then I remembered that I said, so my issue is, there are all sorts of things which your life, where there is a script which God has been writing in your life all through. Amen? Now, when you go and do what David used to do so easily in the Psalms, even when he's sad, he writes a psalm for being what? Sad. When he's saying, Lord, how long is it going to take for you to avenge me before my enemies? He also writes that. Now, what he's writing is what you would be saying if you were speaking to the Lord. Speaking honestly. You look at those psalms. He's just actually speaking honestly to the Lord that this is taking too long, man. How long will it be before what? You crush my enemies and what, blah, 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 and all those things. So, now you're ministering to God. And guess what? That's where you'll get powerful revelation from him. He will just place something in your heart like this. One thing like this, which is going to change your life. Now, I'll tell you that when you say revelation, people think that it's revelation like for scripture. No. It's actually, he will give you like one business idea which will change your life. Or something in your line. Amen? In your line, you can be an author and God gives you an idea of a book which is going to change your life. Or something, and it will be placed at that. Now, when you are not fighting wars of in the name of Jesus, now I cancel in Jesus' name, amen. Then you go to sleep feeling accomplished, but you are not in the place of revelation, up in that place where the Lord speaks and it is so clear, or where he gives you an impression, and you go to sleep thinking that I think I should do this tomorrow, and it is so strong on you at that time, and you wake up in the morning, and when you stand out to go and do it, you realize that it was the work of God. So many people have gotten powerful revelations. Like, for instance, he can give you just one revelation of a song, which is going to change your life. Amen? All wisdom is with him. Now, in that place of ministering to him, some people think he gives revelations of what are you going to preach on Friday. No, sometimes he's telling me political things, how you're going to handle this. That one you do to him like this. Other times he's telling me totally different things. Even football. Like, totally different things. And now, that is the place of Adam, where there is no battle to fight, there is nothing you're praying to God for, you have everything is available, but still God comes to talk to you, just to commune with you. Remember I told you how I had Kenneth Hagin saying how he went to his prayer room, where he would go every once in the, so he just walked into the prayer room. Then he said, and then I had the voice of the Lord speak to me very clearly. I can't imitate him because he was a very Texan speaker. He had a very heavy Texas accent. But anyway, then he says, the Lord told him, what can I do for you, son? Then he said, no, I don't want anything. You've done for me everything I ever wanted. And he said, and you've given me more than I want and more than I need. I am okay. I just came in to visit with you and to talk to you. Then he said, Kenneth Hagin said that the Lord told him, do you have any idea how much that means to me? That you just came to talk to me. Praise the Lord. And you see, you have to realize that people who love want to be loved. Amen? And God loves. And he wants to be loved. You see, there was a meme I saw of an old man who went to a shop, a phone repair shop, and took his phone for repair. Then they told him, sir, there's nothing wrong with your phone. He said, are you sure? Then why? How come my children are not calling me any longer? Now, you know, when a parent, it means I see even, I have some siblings who are out of the country, and I see what it means to my mother when they call. Just that. Then she's, so and so is calling. Then she goes outside and talks, and she's smiling and what, and you know, she's very happy. Her children called. When was the last time you called your heavenly father? Not about anything, not to destroy demons. Just to call and talk. Just to call and talk. Imagine your children are. Because my mother, they don't need anything from her. You understand? They're just calling to talk to her. And it means so much, so much. And now, I don't have a surviving father, but I'm sure if I did, it would mean so much to him if I would go and sit down there with him and we started discussing. I know when he was alive, he used to like politics. So sometimes I even imagine if he was alive, I would just maybe be driving to the village just to sit and talk with him. And that would mean a lot to him. And now he has given everything to you, but just you talking to him means so much to him. You understand? Now, that is the place where actually revelation resides and where victory, where you stay in perpetual victory. Always you are in victory because you are in a place of, now that's that secret of the, which the scripture says the secret place of the Lord. And it changes you so much and it changes him. I mean, he really appreciates it, and he will tell you something which is of extreme value, and you'll be there and you know things, which one thing which can change your life, just one thing, and he just dumps it in you like this. He doesn't have to speak. If you are, he can just impress it in you, and then you say, I have an idea. And you don't know that time when you were ministering to the Lord, you see here that this were ministering to the Lord. And he spoke to them and said, separate for me these guys. That's actually the place of the Lord speaks. Separate. When you are busy breaking demons, it's hard for him to even penetrate. But now here, that's when he tells you what he wants. Separate for me these people and for the work I'm giving them. Now, do you imagine that in that place, they are thinking about the devil? Like the devil is a non-existent factor. The Holy Spirit speaks to them and says, you know, these ones, pray for them. Then the scripture says, after finishing fasting, they laid their hands on them, prayed for them, and they set off. And they went and changed the whole of Asia. And the scripture says elsewhere that the whole of Asia had the gospel because of Paul and Barnabas. The whole of Asia had the gospel. And that's it. Now, they have set off in a place of victory. And it started by they ministered to the Lord. And some ways they ministered to the Lord and prayed, which is different. Minister to the Lord. A place of I know these things, and the reality is that this world can actually put you in a place where you want to go to the Lord so much as you want to get something from Him. And that's different. Love is when you don't want anything from anybody. Like, let's say, parent. You don't need anything from them. Let's say you're okay, you have a good life, you have a good job, and you're okay. And you go to your parents just to talk. And you spend the whole week, just go there and talk. And, you know, sit down with your father if he's still alive. I hope he is. And have a cup of coffee. Now you mean, do you know what that would mean to him? You just sit there and have a cup of tea and you jazz. Then he tells you about his days. You know, in our days, this was like this. Eh? Very soon I'll also be there where I'm talking about it nowadays. No, I will not. Have you ever heard old men talking about in our days? Eh? Man, in our days, things were what? Eh? And now, when he's saying that to his son, Victor is laughing. You wait when you're what? And you're telling your children, you know, in our days, we used to go to the watchman and what? But now the watchman is somewhere in Entebbe. Anyway. Anyway, so, are you people getting what I'm saying? Eh? And anybody who loves needs to be loved back. I have to say that again. And the love that God has given to us, where He accepts us with all our imperfections. You see, eh? You see, for me, that alone, that I'm fully accepted by God with all my imperfections, that alone makes, like, me want to worship Him all the time. Like, He knows. He knows there is no surprises. When He called me, He knew what my weaknesses were. So He can't say, but man, you guy, I'm surprised. No. So with all my imperfections, you're perfectly well received by Him. And so you sit there, and Jesus paid the price for that, for you to be in communion with the Father. That's actually what ministering is, communion, in communion with the Father. And you can be with Him, you know, all the time. Like, not all the time, of course, because you have to, but in so many times. Now, one of the reasons why, I'll tell you, why people are in ministry and get what they call ministry fatigue, and it is a very common thing, I can tell you that, where people just get tired of ministry. And I remember there is some pastor here who told me, man, every time it's coming to Sunday, I hate to preach, man. Eh? Like, I hate preaching. Like, I don't want to go and preach, man. This whole preaching thing is, but do you know why that is that? You never minister to the Lord. So you're dry. You don't have anything to say. When you minister to Him, you become refreshed. And you always have something to say because He's also always telling you something. You understand? Now, I can't be there and say, now, huh, this Friday is over. Now, what am I going to talk next Friday? In that time, I'm going to be ministering to the Lord, and there will be other things He's telling me. Amen? Just communing with Him, and the other things He's telling me about what in my life. What next, Lord? What am I going to do about this? You try just asking one day. Just sit and say, man, God, what am I going to do? Imagine S5, backslidden. Eh? And you know, when I was in S1 and S2, I was like, you know, these vibrant guys and what? Eh? They almost even expelled me because there was some cantankerous chaplain there, some Muzungu man called Sweeney, Father Sweeney. I don't know what's okay. He's some Irish guy. He hated Sevdis with all his life. He could only accept it if your parents were not Catholic. But now, for me, I came from a Catholic family. So, how do you get born again? But anyway, so when I went to S5, somehow people were putting it on me that I'm a backslidden guy because they had seen me vibrant. I've never been these quiet people. Or I get saved and I just be quiet. No. So I'm in S5 backslidden properly. Eh? Because of Zosh. Then Then I'm in serious trouble and I ask the Lord, man, I am seeing these three numbers. I can't get any one of them. I am completely... And there was just one small trick which he showed me like this. And I say, yes. Then I got it. Now, if in that state, I could just ask him, man, what do I do about this scenario? Dilemmas, people are in dilemmas. What am I supposed to be about this? Why is this not happening? Why is this? And you just go and minister to him. You don't even have to ask him, by the way. Just go in a place of ministering to him. And today we are not praying for anything. Today everything is okay. By the way, that thing which Kenneth Hagin said of, when I heard it, when I had that message, saying that he told the Lord that, you've given me everything I need and much more than I ever need. So when I had that, man, I was in a very tough financial situation. So you know what I told the Lord? I told the Lord, if you also give me everything I need, I say, you give me everything, also may I be like Kenneth Hagin. So that when I come to pray, I have just come to what? To visit in. You'd say, I've just come to visit in with you. Now, then he told me, Kenneth Hagin used to say that even when he had nothing. Amen? If you wait until you get everything, you will not minister to the Lord. You will not be in position. Now, in the times of King David, it was so important for this ministering to the Lord that King David appointed, you know, they had a tabernacle. They didn't have a temple. So they only had a tent where they would put the mercy seat and all that. And King David appointed people from the tribe of the Levites whose work was just to go and compose music before the mercy seat. And they would be there from morning up to evening. Actually, the scripture says that they worked there for the same number of hours that the people worked in the fields. Now, and it says also that they were paid out of the king's treasury. In other words, they were government workers. So for you, don't go and dig, don't work. Of course, the Levites didn't have even land to dig. But he said, just be before the mercy seat and compose songs of worship. So they would just be there worshiping, composing songs of praise and worship and doing that. And King David valued it. Go to chapter 6, verse 31. And he valued it so much. First, go back where you are. Now he appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord, to commemorate, to thank, and to praise the Lord of God of Israel. Go ahead. Asaph, to mention them. And they said, go back to the previous verse. It says, with stringed instruments and harps. But Asaph made music with cymbals. Now imagine, they're even worshipping just before, you know, the Ark of the Covenant with the mercy seat and what. Now they just be there and they are composing songs all day. And they are paid from the king. Their salaries come from the king's treasury. In other words, they are civil servants. And now the interesting thing is, because that's the place of victory, as long as they did that, Israel never lost any battle on the field when these men were busy in front of the mercy seat, just singing to God, thanking him for his goodness and his mercies. You are the Lord God of all the earth. Just worshiping him. And now the soldiers are out fighting and winning, and the farmers are out farming and bringing in great yield. But these men, their work was just to stand before the seat and worship the Lord all the time and minister to the Lord all the time. And Solomon retained these people, and also him paid off the king's treasury. Also him, he retained them there, paid off the king's treasury. Now when Solomon died and was replaced by his son Jeroboam, he removed them. Then Israel started suffering defeat in battle. But in all that time, they never lost wars at all, as long as these men were there before the mercy seat. Can you imagine such a place of victory? Go to Acts chapter 16. And you know the story. Imagine a place of, you know the story of Acts 16. So Paul is there. He wants to go into Asia. Then the Spirit forbids him. Then he sleeps. And then in the visions of the night, he sees a man from Macedonia who comes and says, come and minister to us. Then he concludes that the Lord wants him to go and minister in Macedonia. So he goes to the first city of Macedonia, which is Philippi. Then he's in Philippi, And he's walking, ministering the gospel, minding his own business. Only there is some demon-possessed girl who is not minding her own business. And she's walking around proclaiming to everybody that these men are servants of the Most High God. And they proclaim the way of truth. And now, some of you would be flattered by that. That you see, even the devil knows that we are what? Yeah. I remember we used to do that. There's some guy who would, one day the devil gave a testimony about him. We're casting out demons. Then this person actually was really possessed. Then he said that, but this one has fire. Then the guy was, don't play with me. And he spoke that for like 2 years. Now you receive the testimony of the devil, but can you imagine? And now the devil is a liar. He can say that to the person who has the least fire. Anyway, now, so Paul is irritated. So he gets angry and just casts the demon out. Now that's where the problem comes. So the owner of the girl comes, takes him, so they end up in prison. And they are fastened. The magistrate gets them and they give them chiboko. They were chastised with whips, then taken and put in stocks. And they said that having received such a strong commandment, having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Now, I want you to see that they were actually ministering to God. Now, the whole midnight thing, Lord, you are the one who brought us here. Now, look where we've ended up. No. At midnight is both symbolic and also actual. In the middle of the night, but also at the lowest point. These people were praying and singing hymns to the Lord, worshiping, ministering to the Lord when they are in stocks. Now, here is the challenge. Some of you have no money in the pocket. That your relationship with God has come to a standstill. It's over. Wakowa. Now, these people, over just one empty wallet. Yet, actually, it's not been your story all the while. Maybe you even had some miracles from him. But one lean spell is enough for you to... Now, God's reputation is in tatters as far as you're concerned. Totally in tatters. Now, these people, in the midnight, they are praying and singing hymns to the Lord and ministering to the Lord. Then, suddenly, you know what happened? Suddenly, there was a great what? Earthquake. So that's the... Now, what I find interesting in this, in the morning, after this time of these people praying and ministering to God, in the morning, the magistrates who told the gatekeepers, prison keepers, to make sure you lock these people up securely. In the morning, the same magistrates called and said, release those men, let them go. What changed? Something changed. And then, on top of that, Paul goes and pulls now another move. Then he says, no, we are not going until you come and release us yourself. Because why did you said you locked us up openly. Now you want to release us secretly. No, we are not going. They said, this guy, they have released you, why don't you go? No, something changed. Like, that place is a place of victory, you understand? The suddenness where you're there ministering to God and something is wrong and you're ministering to God, then suddenly something happens. Now, if you minister to God because you want something to happen, it might not happen. Because ministering is unconditional. Amen? It's from a place of thankfulness, a place of gratefulness, and so on. But it will happen. But it has to come from, not from a demand point of view. If you are demanding anything, it's not going to happen. Now, these people were not saying, but God, release us from here. Let's worship until you release us. No, they were just worshiping. Just worshiping, and it's okay. Worshipping, then suddenly, phew, the chains fall off, they are out. Then they are even telling the magistrate, you go there. And when it was day, the magistrates sent the officers saying, let those men go. Go ahead. So the keeper of the prison reported these words to Paul, saying, the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace. But Paul said to them, they have beaten us openly and condemned Romans and have thrown us into prison. And now do they put us out secretly? No, indeed. Let them come themselves and get us out. And the officers told these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Romans. Now you see also, Paul used to play these games. And they came and pleaded with them and brought them out and asked them to depart from the city. Pleading. So they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia. Now, the thing is, ministering to God at night. During the day, everything is bad. Beaten, thrown in prison. Then you minister to God. In the morning, the same people who ordered for your beating are now pleading with you to go. Please, please leave. But you know, Paul used to play these games. And I learned them from him. Because I also learned how to play games. Because, you see, you play people against one another. You see, it says somewhere when he was appearing before the Jews, when he was accused, he said he noticed that some of them are Pharisees and others are what? Sadducees. Now, Sadducees, we are very sad people. Okay, Sadducees did not believe that there is a resurrection. But I don't know how stupid you can be to... But anyway, they didn't believe there is a resurrection. They believed when you die, you just die like a goat. And they believed that. Then Paul noticed that half of them were Pharisees, half were what? Then he said that I am a Pharisee. But he's not a Pharisee. He was a Pharisee. Then he says, I am a Pharisee, and for the resurrection from the dead, am I being condemned? Then now the Pharisees turn on the Sadducees and say, yeah, this man is innocent because he's... Now, then he left them fighting amongst themselves because they have their own issues. So he just said, hey, so now he played those games. Anyway, praise the Lord. Glory to God. As they ministered to the Lord, the Spirit of God spoke to them. I want you to remember that. As they ministered to God, the Spirit spoke to them. That is a very key thing. Very, very important thing. Very important place for anybody to be at. When you just, God can just deposit something small. And that one small thing is the difference. 1 year from now, you are a completely different person. People are looking at you and you all that. And it came from God depositing some small thing in you. At that moment when you were there ministering to him. And then he gives you maybe a business idea. Maybe he connects you to somebody. Maybe he tells you, go and meet that person. He will not say, some of you will say, I've never heard him say. No, you just get the feeling, the idea. You just get this unction. That in the morning, go and talk to so and so. Then you go and talk to the person. The person says, what do you do? I do this. Yeah. Can you do this? We've been looking for somebody like you. And now like you got that when what? You were ministering to the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I want you to get away from resist the devil and he shall flee. And to get to a place of perpetual victory. Even when the devil shows up, he finds you busy ministering to the Lord. Amen? Now, okay. It's time for me to end. When I was, I remember some time ago, when I realized how important some of these moments are. And by the way, that ministry to the Lord is very important when you are going through a tough time like these people. That's when it almost has double or triple the effect when you are going through a rough time. And you actually, in actual sense, have no reason to be praising God. That's when it's most important. Not most important, but that's when it's most effectual. I remember that book by Rick Joyner called The Call, and I've said this story here before. Those books changed my perception on life completely. The Final Quest and The Call. Now, in The Call, he says that as he's up in the heavenlies with the Lord Jesus, then he says that, okay, I may not narrate it so because I read them so many years ago. But he says that something happens, and then he falls down like before the Lord. And then when he falls down, he's suddenly seeing the throne of God, the Father. And then at that moment, God silenced all the worship in heaven and told everybody, keep quiet. And then he saw that there was something that was catching God's attention on earth. Then he said at that moment, Jesus gave him his perspective where he can see everything. Okay? So now he could see and know the way God sees and knows. So then he sees where God's attention is, and it's in some place where there were some young men in a garage somewhere in America, somewhere, some garage somewhere, and they had instruments and they were composing songs of worship to the Lord and praise to the Lord and worship. And then he saw, because he could see the what the Lord sees in that period, then he saw how those people were going through a very tough time, those young men going through a very, very hard, tough time. But amidst all that, when everything was not working out, they were here and with instruments, and they were singing songs of praise and worship, and they were genuinely worshiping the Lord. And for that, God had silenced all the worship in heaven. Then Luke Joyner says that, why did he do that? Why did he silence them? Then he said that because those ones in heaven have seen his glory, they cannot but worship. But these ones are worshiping by faith. Everything is, he says, their lives seem to be in a mess, and yet they are actually really in that point taking time to worship, and they're really worshiping from their heart. It's not those things of. And then he said, now this is what really I found interesting. He said he saw tears streaming from the eyes of the Father, just looking at these people. And then Jesus told him that when I see my Father that happy, I am so glad that I went to the cross, because you would not have those moments if I had not gone to the cross and redeemed man back. Then he said, just for that moment, I could go back. If I had to, I would go back to the earth again and die again, just for that moment, seeing how my Father is happy that, you know, his children here are worshiping him by faith. By faith. So, and then he went on to say one other thing. He says, and now, when they are like that, those people who are worshiping, are at their strongest, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. So then afterwards in the book he says, do not waste your trials. Trials are a very powerful point to see that, to show the Father that you love him regardless. Things are tight, but I love you, I worship you, and what? And it is a point of real communion. That's when actually your communion with God is at its purest, because it's not based on anything natural. It is actually purely by faith. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen. That was The Watchman. Join us at our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa, Kampala. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, or send us an email to info@UGWatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, on how to give, resources, and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.